When there's something strange in the neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Immaculate.
Smash cuts.
Oh, that's...
Damn, Sean.
Well, let's
damn.
Just do that again.
Welcome back to Smash Cuts. This is episode 175 of This Esteemed Production. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, just wonderful. Just wonderful. I am at the mercy of the weather when it comes to like my allergies and stuff, and I'm like literally dying this morning. Like my eyes are puffy. I can't breathe out of my nose. I don't know what's going on.
Well, at least when those things happen, it's like, hey, the weather is getting warmer, but there is an like unseasonable cold snap happening.
Oh my god.
And so it's like, you know, the sacrifice of like not being able to breathe is that like, hey, at least I'm in some warmer weather and it's nicer. It's like, nope, it's freezing cold and you can't breathe.
I kind of did it to myself a little bit too, because I was traveling. I was in Louisville and then Orlando, and it was like 88 degrees in Orlando, and then I landed in Philadelphia. It's like 32. I'm like, cool.
It's well, I do, you know, I've become a little bit too stubborn this past week, and I'm just not wearing my winter coat anymore. And that's just not working out for me. I'm like, no, no, it's spring. I'm wearing just a sweater. And it's like, nope. Like it is. I'm like running to work when I'm like from the car to work every single time.
I feel the same way. I put it away and I'm done.
Yeah.
Like it's not coming back out. I'm trying to will the weather to be warmer, but that's not really working.
Not working at all.
All right, let's dive into what we're discussing today. Topic one for us on the agenda is going to be The Gentlemen. This is a Netflix series starring Theo James, a spinoff of The Gentlemen movie from Guy Ritchie, spinoff of sorts, yeah. You know, in the same world, if you will. I'm in the middle of watching this, but I have to tell you that I am like thoroughly enjoying it. I remember you put up I think an A for your review, and I was
very
like,
surprisingly an A. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh wow, I gotta watch this. And I started watching it wasn't on the plane. I don't know when I started watching, but I have just been engrossed in it. It is so well done.
Yeah, it's like the biggest surprise for me, because you know, a TV show coming off a movie, sometimes those can work. And I think this one works because it's entirely separate. To the sense where it's like almost like Fargo, where it's like, this is literally just the style of the movie, The Gentlemen. Like they, like the literal only like connection is that they're selling dope. Like I can't really, there's no other characters from it. There's no other actors from it. Guy Ritchie's involved in both. But I mean, at this point, I'm just getting more and more surprised by Theo James, where, you know, he's obviously one of the many actors that start on these, you know, young adult franchises. His was Divergent, I believe.
Correct.
And I didn't really see any of those. And the only things I've seen him in are White Lotus and The Gentlemen. And I'm like, okay, so this guy's an extremely talented actor then. Because both of those, he's exceptional. And I think like the best part with Theo James is that he has to play the role where there's chaos around him happening. And he has to sort of like essentially play the straight man. But he has to also be a part of that chaos. And the second episode involves a shootout with a man dressed as a chicken. And so it's already like, you know, it has this cool demeanor while also being just as silly. And I'm fascinated by the intricacies. You're only about halfway in, so I won't do spoilers except to say that this movie is so close to losing, like it almost falls completely off the track and then just like reinserts itself perfectly on the plot and does finish very nicely.
I definitely need to check it out. It's really interesting looking at Theo James. By check it out, I mean finish the series. Mm-hmm. It is really interesting looking at Theo James's IMDb, because after the last Insurgent movie, which was Allegiant, he went on and did Underworld Blood Wars right after that, and then did a couple like smaller things, like movies that I don't even recognize, to be honest. Did some voicing, well, in one episode of The Witcher. He did that movie Archive in 2020, which I vaguely remember seeing, which was about a human equivalent AI. Why does this movie ring a bell too? Duel.
Oh, is that the one that recently came out of Sundance? Yeah, that's the one with Aaron Paul. I think it was a Sundance.
Oh, that's right. Movie. That's right. Yeah. It's always funny when there's movies that I don't remember. I'm like, did I see that? I did see that. Wow.
Well, especially in the pandemic when we saw so many just VOD movies. And like, it's weird to venture back into that area.
The Time Traveler's Wife was that show, and then you're right, the White Lotus and the Gentleman. And it's upcoming. He's in a David Copperfield series with Jesse Buckley, and Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh wow!
And Toby Jones.
Oh geez.
And then he's in The Monkey, which is the Stephen King adaptation.
All right. Well, he's still getting his he's still getting his jobs, but it is, you know, obviously he's, you know, as we can desperately see, he's extremely attractive, and he works that very well. Like, he knows how to, like, absolutely work that, like, just like beautiful face that you don't exactly trust in this you're asked to. And it's like, I loved this role for him. This is a very similar to like the Jason Statham in Snatch role, where he's just the cool dude that has everything together, but everyone else around him is like just fucking everything up.
I think the thing about it too is this show, each episode's not the most exciting, meaning that there's not always like a ton going on. It's very plot heavy, but it's done so intriguingly well.
Yeah.
It keeps you invested and you really want to know what's going on, especially with the wild brother.
Well, he's great. I've seen him. He was in that show that was like, this is like early Netflix, but it was like called Lovesick.
Oh, yeah.
Which was originally the title, which I thought was a better title, was Scrotal Recall. Because a guy gets, what was it? He gets an STD basically, and he's going through all of his past relationships. And he plays like the goofy friend in that. So it was nice to see him in this, like basically just playing the same role. But I love that this kind of went where I don't recognize any of these actors except for, you know, Theo James and Giancarlo Esposito, and, you know, occasionally in a like an appearance from Ray Winstone. But for the most part, they kept this very, very British to the point where I'm like looking these people up and I'm like, yeah, no, they've been on a bunch of BritBox series and that's about it. And I kind of love that. I love that they really kept it thick British, and that made it like all the more fun.
Yeah. Definitely one of the more entertaining Guy Ritchie projects for me.
This is really his Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels that he used to do that I feel like those have lost their way. I mean, yeah. I have hopes for Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. But these just seem like the classic ones. Like Snatch and Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels are just like these crazy ones where there's 25 characters. The Gentleman did harken back to this a little bit, and all of them are goofy, and what they get into is just so chaotic and insane. And I love that, like, they decided, like, let's do this in a series, because we could keep on, like, you know, we keep on going further and further down in this and spiral further and further down, and I'm in.
Yeah. Netflix is on a good run right now.
I mean, yeah, right now, it's funny that you could see it in the back corner of the picture. I'm midway through Three Body Problem, which is series from David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the Game of Thrones people. And it's getting better. It was like, you know, those first few episodes were really tough to swallow. You had to buy into a lot. But after that, it got, you know, it definitely got better as time went on. And I'm starting to understand it. It's starting to work a little bit better, but it's heavily sci-fi. But other than that, I'm enjoying it. I want to see how they can pull it off.
I was a little nervous about it when the trailers came out because of the sci-fi, like heavy sci-fi. Sometimes that's hard.
Yeah. But now it's like, finally, it's like we're in the fifth episode, and thankfully in around the fifth episode, they've pretty much explained everything. I'm sure there will be other surprises, but like now it's like, okay, so now I'm in this world and now I get it. So like now I don't have to deal with like the mystery of why is this happening or why is this happening. I'm like, okay, cool. I understand now what's happening. Let's just progress with the plot, which is nice.
There you go. All right, let's jump into our next topic here, Sean. The Terminator reality is quickly coming upon us. And this is because OpenAI, who is behind ChatGPT and the new Sora property, which is a text-to-video generator, is meeting with Hollywood studios, talent agencies, and media executives to pitch how their technology could be used in filmmaking. My understanding of it, basic understanding, is you type something that you want in it and the video creates, like, you know, say it's a background, a setting, something like that. Tyler Perry is apparently very pumped about it, to the point where he has put on hold his $800 million studio expansion in Atlanta, which of course has a direct impact on the surrounding area, the individuals that would be employed, so on and so forth. So this is a little wild. It's kind of crazy given that AI was just, I think, becoming part of the conversation in the last round of strikes. And now we have specific outreach from OpenAI to Hollywood to try and get this, make this a reality.
Yeah, this is going to be a problem with a lot of labor negotiations. Like, we just got through negotiations with actors and writers that were battling AI things. We have numerous labor negotiations of several different divisions of filmmaking that are going to be happening very shortly. And each one of those is going to have its own strike, and it's going to have its own impediment, I think. Or hopefully it doesn't have its strike. Hopefully they reach some sort of agreement, but it doesn't seem like they will, as the studios are more and more interested in AI. I'm someone that still, I understand the technology is going to continue to progress, and we're never going to get a technological plateau like we always thought we would. AI is still bad. Like, it just is. Like, I, you know, there's some cool things and there's amazing, like, stories about it, but, you know, I will say this, the remake to Roadhouse, where I just said, like, wow, this sound is pretty terrible. I'm wondering what's going on with this. I found out the next day that AI did a lot of the ADR of the sound, which is just like, oh, so that's why that's why it's terrible, is because, like, AI did it and stuff. So I think that, like, even though I didn't even know it was AI, so I didn't have that bias against the robots, I said, wow, this is pretty bad. I think there needs to be a human element in what we're creating. And right now, maybe, like, you know, hey, 20 years from now, I'll eat crow, and, like, everything will be AI and it'll look as perfect as anything else does. But I do think that there is some sort of human element to it. And yeah, I always am just still skeptical of AI, and I'll be the last one, you know, in front of the Terminator fire. But I mean, yeah, Tyler Perry doesn't really, like, focus too much on his set pieces and production design. He's a guy that likes to write the stories of the characters. I don't want to denounce Tyler Perry. I'm not a big fan of his work, but the guy's not really, like, you know, focused on, like, Denis Villeneuve's The Deserts or anything like that.
It's fascinating with Tyler Perry, though, given that he has been such an advocate for the Atlanta area and wanting to build it up, that he allows this to kind of get in the way of the expansion. But I guess at the end of the day, money's money.
And he is someone that, you know, obviously you'll see produced by Tyler Perry on over, like, 500 things a year. Like, the guy is an absolute workhorse. And I guess the only way you can do that through time and money is to employ some type of AI. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, you know, no, and labor parties agree with me. Like, we're not saying eliminate all AI that's ever existed, but I think you need to have a human at the controls still. Like, hey, at our grocery stores, there's still someone at those registers, at those robot registers, saying, like, oh yeah, this got fucked up, let me help you out with this. There still has to be someone there. And I think there still has to be someone.
Robot registers.
I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, hey, it's been more convenient, it's working a little bit better, but there's still something each time.
This is a perfect time to share that we are now sponsored by OpenAI, and Sean is actually an AI creation.
That would work out great for me. I'd be able to see all the movies that I don't get a chance to see.
Because you struggle with that as it is, Sean.
Actually, yeah. I've been. I don't know how I'm doing this still.
You're on a good run.
I'm still doing okay. We'll see how this goes, but I'm meeting the deadlines of the schedules.
So your schedules.
That, yes.
So for a little bit more context, for those that are wondering how this would impact films, what it could look like, there is a little bit of a hubbub around the latest David Desmalchin film, Late Night with the Devil, where the filmmakers have admitted to using AI briefly in it. And if you've seen, Sean, you haven't seen this, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen this one. I'm curious how they did it.
Yeah, that was a twist on words. So it's actually kind of interesting, because in the film, the premise of the film is that he is a late night show host who is trying to catch up with Carson. Carson is dominating the airwaves in the 70s, and there's this lost tape, so to speak, of what happened on a Halloween night. It's an episode where there's demonic possession, all kinds of stuff, and that's the setup for this. That's the premise. There are some title cards that are used to separate, like, we'll be right back or something like that, I think three times. And that's what they used AI to generate. They wanted to get a 70s feel for, like, you know, technical difficulties, we'll be right back, whatever. And they apparently used that as the base and then touched it up. So that is kind of where the latest hubbub is coming. and they have shared, let me see, we feel incredibly fortunate to have had such a talented and passionate cast, crew, and producing team go above and beyond. The only thing that makes me sad is we had such an awesome graphics design team and all these artists who were working on making this film so perfect. So it makes me sad that this is the story that's getting attention, but I get it, said Dust Malchin. That is something that we've learned a lot in the last few years since we made this movie. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the ones I go, like I say, I go back and forth on this all the time. And I think that this is a, you know, relatively independent film working on a very low budget. So, you know, yeah, they probably need to use a little bit of AI to help out with like some of the slight, like, yeah, David's still there. He's still acting, like, you know, they acted on sets. Like, there's a lot of stuff, you know, we could be more mad at, like, you know, there wasn't a volume involved in this. I mean, that's not AI, but still. I mean, you know, what was it? Secret Invasion got, you know, in quote unquote trouble for having their entire opening credits be AI. And I think that puts a few people out of work. And I think that's a little bit tricky. I think this is something where, I don't know, this is something where they needed it a little bit desperately. And so they just had to throw some AI in there, which I think is fine. Yeah.
It's funny talking about budget, because I interviewed the directors the other day, and one of the questions I asked was regarding practical effects versus CGI, and the film has a ton of practical effects. And I said, I was asking about the challenges of doing that, you know, say blood's involved, or there's, you know, vomit or whatever, like, how do you reset? Like, I feel like if you need to do another take, how do you reset? And they were like, oh, another take, huh? like that was out of the question. It was really funny.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah, but really fascinating. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of this in the discussions in the future. And I wonder how many films, TV shows, whatnot, that we don't even realize have employed AI in the past couple of years.
I think that's going to be part of it, is that there needs to be a transparency. And I don't think there is now, where you need to have, like, in the credits, like, artificial intelligence designed the opening credits or something like that. I otherwise, I think this is a real problem. Like, that's the part of the problem that really bugs me, is that you need to, like, be transparent about it. Like, this script was entirely written by an AI, so that people know what they're getting themselves into when you see that, and we'll realize, like, hey, why it's bad, or if it's good, oh no, like, we're in trouble there. But I think you need to have that transparency. And I forget, like, the million long deal that they had with actors and writers, but I'm sure there was some of that there.
This is gonna be really fascinating. It's funny, because how many movies have been made over the years, decades really, that have warned us about AI in one way or another. Granted, it's always like, they're going to release the nukes. Like, this is interesting. We're getting there. Like, the technology is wild that you can't, we're probably seeing it in some political ads. Let's be real.
So many
totally shit happening out there. And the fact that AI can sort of dub a voice. I wonder if AI, by the way, was used for the ADR in Madam Web, because that was horrendous ADR.
I can't even blame a robot on that. That was just that was edited by a dog.
That was, oh my gosh, How rough was that?
What a miracle of a film, though. I'm just so happy it exists. Like, I'm just like, when I was watching it, I was like, I'm seeing history.
I've seen some clips recently, and I'm like, man, that was really bad. I can't remember what clip I saw. It was just like, listen, people are defending Dakota Johnson, and we're getting off track here, but we have to. People are defending Dakota Johnson. She phoned it the fuck in with that movie.
Well, this is how I'll defend Dakota Johnson is, and I don't know if this is true with her or not. I do think sometimes she knows exactly where she is and what she's doing. I think she knew this with the Gray movies. And I think there's something where she's like, you know, I will just phone this in, because I know what this is. I'm standing in a green screen. She knows how absolutely silly that was. And so she said, all right, I'm going to bring about 10% and then look to the future. Like, I think she is somewhat self-aware. And as the press tour indicated, she quite was.
It's like, Madam Web is as if that line from the Lion King live action where Beyonce goes, "Lions, attack." Like, if that was a movie, like, that is the entire Dakota Johnson performance.
And they'd have a Pepsi.
Yeah. Jesus.
That was scary. It's like, listen, I get it. You have to pay the bills, so product placement is a part of our lives, but that was terrifying.
Do you know what's funny? I noticed it, but it didn't even affect me until I was thinking about it afterwards. Like, I wonder what that says about me.
A battle on the Pepsi side. This fight brought to you by Pepsi.
I was just glad that it was like an actual company and not like Super Cola or something, you know? Like, I hate, that's what always, I guess that's, I'm a details person. It takes me out when you're like, that's clearly fake. But this is, you know, Pepsi.
Had a concussion? Try a Pepsi.
Yeah. I love the, what was the thing about like the villain, like his whole, he has a fear of like falling or getting kicked out a window or whatever by the three spider girls or spider women, but then like leaps off of everything, like the whole movie.
Yeah, that's the one time. Well, he's older. I guess his powers are less tuned.
Which we never got any explanation for.
God, no.
Oh, my God. What was that movie? Oh, Kraven the Hunter, coming soon. All right. let's discuss this onslaught at the burp of sequels that we're having going on there. It was announced or shared yesterday. I think it was the actor that plays Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore shared that he's seen a script for Happy Gilmore 2, and that it seems, and then I think news came out later from via Deadline that there actually is movement on Happy Gilmore 2, probably set up at Netflix, given
Adam Sandler's
overall deal with the studio or with the streamer. This is kind of wild. You and I texted a little bit about this and how, you know, is there a kind of like a time limit on these sequels? I know that Hollywood doesn't really see that. That's how we got Coming to America. Jack Black wants to do a School of Rock sequel. We just got the Beetlejuice teaser trailer this week. The Boondock Saints are coming back. Those old ass men.
They already did once.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh,
they're coming back again. But like, it's just a little wild. So I guess first off, what are your thoughts on a Happy Gilmore 2?
I mean, I don't want any of these sequels. They're not going to be good. They're not going to ruin the original. Like these movies are classics. These movies are great and wonderful. And a late stage sequel or a legacy sequel is normally not that great. Hey, there's there's Mad Max Fury Road and there's Top Gun Maverick and there's the gigantic exceptions to the rule. But I look at something like this and it's a ploy to nostalgia, which is something that happens. And, you know, people are going to like Happy Gilmore 2 will be the most streamed movie for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. And, you know, we'll make Netflix a ton of imaginary money. But I don't think that it would be, it's just not going to be of the same quality or of equal quality. And so I just get bummed out about like hearing about these where I'm like, Sandler's doing well on Netflix too. And I'd love for him to keep on doing his own thing instead of this. And, this will just be popular. There's already been apparently rumors that Tiger Woods is going to be playing Chubbs' son.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Paige Renee was going to be the girl with the beer and the underwear, which sounds good. Like in that case, I'm in for this. But I don't know. I just get a little bit bummed out by the whole thing. And, you know, I look at like something like School of Rock where, yeah, I guess, you know, he could go back and be a teacher with another crop of kids. And like Jack Black playing with kids is going to be just like the funniest thing like in the world again. But I don't know if it'll ever really hit the same levels that these originals do. And if they don't, then what's the point of making a sequel? I don't know. I'm definitely grumpy Gus on all these. Like all my friends have been like texting back and forth about Happy Gilmore 2. Like, this is going to be awesome. And I'm like, you guys know it won't though, right? You guys won't like this when it comes out.
I think what gets me is just trying to think about this storyline and where they could possibly go, because Sandler made this movie 28 years ago and he's 57 years old right now. So that means he was 29 when he made this film or when the film came out. Let's put it that way. I'm sure he made it like a year or two prior. So a little just I don't know. It feels like we don't need that. And I said this to you in text. There are some other Adam Sandler movies that I would much rather a sequel to. You know, I definitely would love to see like where Big Daddy is, and you had a good pitch for that.
Oh yeah, I still want that pitch, but yeah. I don't know. So sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot our texts aren't available on. So it was basically John Stewart's character is dead apparently, and he needs to get custody. So it becomes like a Kramer versus Kramer situation where Sonny Koufax, who is a lawyer, and it's like very briefly discussed that he is, because he was just wasting his law degree on like not doing anything, which is fascinating. You know, him and Layla Maloney do what they can to try to get Julian back. But I just realized with that, Julian's probably over 18 now, so I don't think that's to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that part.
A little bit of a wrinkle there. I don't know. Maybe there's like a maybe Julian's dead and there's a grandson in the picture. Let's get dark.
That actually, you know what? That, you know, his kid, that would actually be exactly what they would do. But once again, I think I can't pull one out of the air, but I think we've seen that before where it's like, you know, the kid has a kid and now it's the same thing. And, you know, I don't know.
The Will and Grace reboot did it.
He was able to hustle, man. Like, have him as the assistant coach of, like, the 76ers. You'll love that. I mean, that would be great. And, oh, God, like, I want to see that. Like, that was lovely.
Uncut Gems 2. Problematic in other ways. But the other one that I would like to see a sequel to is 50 First Dates. I love 50 First Dates. And that's, in my opinion, one of the most underrated Sandler movies. Him and Barrymore, they've talked about a sequel, haven't they? Wasn't that like rumored last year or something?
I think they often like these stars do get together and they like kind of like spitball ideas. And then, you know, it's mentioned like pass like on a podcast or something. And it's like a passing thing where it's like, yeah, we talked about this. I don't know if there's any like, you know, forward progress being made. I would like to see that one, though. I mean, that was a lovely, lovely romantic comedy. I would love to see how that one would go further. I mean, you know, especially with her. I mean, the way that one ended, it's like you could put a movie in between like where like the very end of the story was and the very end of the plot was, because there was so much that occurred in that moment, which I would be very curious to see.
Apparently back in December, Jason Momoa was on the Drew Barrymore show and he asked her what her favorite comedy she's ever been in was, and she said, well, I was thinking particularly 50 First Dates, and then he started pitching, yeah, maybe do 50 more dates. And then they started talking about it a little more, which is kind of interesting. I guess that's probably what I was thinking of when I heard of this, but interesting.
Those casual talk happening. I do think they always want to revisit these stories and revisit these characters, and I don't blame them. I mean, I bet Happy Gilmore was a blast to shoot. I bet the other one would be. It's just, you know, it turns.
But half the cast is dead.
Yeah, that's also true.
Okay, that's what I don't get from this. I mean, it's all money. At the end of the day, it's money grabs. Sometimes I like when you hear from some of the actors who are like, I would do a sequel, but the story has to be right. And it seems like, I guess, you know, Adam Sandler probably has his hand in crafting this story, but I don't always support his decisions.
And I always hear that from actors where they're like, I'll do a sequel when the story's right. And then like that, like those actors are talking about that sequel are the Anchorman sequel or the Zoolander sequel, where they're like, you know, hey, well, I want to do it when the story's right. And I'm like, okay, did you even look at the script before you did that? Because those are messes.
Should have went to AI.
Yeah. And then like, I look at the outtakes for, you know, the Anchorman sequel. And I'm like, oh, they had an absolute unbelievable blast. Like, even though the product is dog shit, I get it. You want to go back to like, absolutely like how much fun you had with all of these actors. So it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, make a Shooter McGavin movie or something, like a Shooter McGavin prequel. Like, but
they just want to hang out with the boys.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, Grown Ups 4, Grown Ups 3, Grown Ups 8.
My God. Where the grown ups are now elderly and in hospice.
Grown Ups 8 hospice. Oh,
God. All right, time for Smash Cuts.
Smash Cuts.
That didn't even play the whole one.
Smash Cuts.
There we go.
There we go.
This is where I give Sean or any co-host that is on a number of topics, and I want your quick reaction to them. So let's start with this one, X-Men 97.
Oh, my God, did I love this. Oh, the fact that this is one of the Smash Cuts topics. I mean, did you end up seeing these episodes?
No, not yet.
So I when they announced this, I said, wow, this is going to be just so unbelievably apparent that this is like going to be from 2024. And they're going to be trying to pump nostalgia like we've been talking about, like, you know, like just trying to pump nostalgia. This, I feel like I'm back in my jammies eating cereal on a Saturday morning.
You probably were, Sean.
Actually, you know what? I was in pajamas. That's absolutely true. Because those khakis come right off when I come home. But like, without that, everything else, just I felt like a little kid again watching this. And I think it's brilliant because obviously like it's of low quality from the 90s. It's just animation of low quality. It's just, but they put that style back in, and then they have these like really solid themes from this year that I really adored it, where I'm like, this is some of the, like, the best X-Men storytelling I'm getting. And, you know, I'm not a huge comic book guy. I'm not a huge X-Men guy. I don't know a lot. And they're dropping us in the middle of this world, and I'm understanding what's going on perfectly fine. And, like, there's X-Men that I've never even heard of before that are in this that I'm sure, like, diehard fans know very well. But I'm just like, I think they're doing right by this. And there's only two episodes out. I never want to review something until it's concluded, but I am so goddamn impressed by this. And I remember I talked to a friend of the pod, Matt, about it. And he's like, I hope they somehow figure out a way to get these exact characters into the MCU. And I'm like, no, keep them away. Keep them away. Keep these beautiful characters far away from the MCU. But I mean, they're doing some really cool shit in this. And so I'm on board for X-Men 97 when I really was skeptical.
It is on my list.
Yeah, you would love this one. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, next one, themed popcorn buckets.
Okay, so it's become now a spoof. Like, I just saw the fun meme where it's just like, you know, the new themed popcorn bucket is you can eat popcorn out of Slimer's juicy ass. And like, I said to myself, I'm like, well, that's funny. I think that this is one of those things where the Dune Part 2, whether they meant to or not, and I really do think they meant to, but it became the meme it was. And I, you know, now everyone else is trying to duplicate that. I don't think it works as well. I don't think it's going to be as popular. They're not going to be able to pull it. I saw people like going into Ghostbusters because, you know, every normal person was going to see Ghostbusters this weekend. I went to see a pregnant Sydney Sweeney nun instead, but you know, that theater wasn't exactly packed, but everyone, they're eating the popcorn out of like the ectoplasm thing. And I'm like, okay, that's fun. But eventually it's going to go too far in one direction where they're just not even functional anymore. And I mean, I think Dune Part 2 came close, and that was there for the story. And you know what? Pretty brilliant marketing on their part. If they meant it or not, congrats to them. But
there's a movie personality, if you will. Big movie fan, has a lot of followers, also has since started an OnlyFans. And did something with that bucket on OnlyFans, the Dune bucket, and it was pretty funny. But they posted something yesterday, and it was of the Slimer bucket, and it said, "Please stop sending me this. I'm not going to F it." And I lost it.
Is this Evan Williams, that guy that like does all the Fast and the Furious sketches and stuff?
No,
I was gonna say, like, this sounds like him.
It was pretty funny though. It was like, I'm not gonna F it.
Please stop sending me this.
Oh my god. All right, Alien Romulus teaser.
Okay, I mean, emphasis on teaser. You know, these alien movies, like, you know, Prometheus I thought was dope. And I like that Prometheus like got I remember when Prometheus came out, it was getting so much hate. And I like that it got this second life of love finally, where it's actually pretty good. Yes, she didn't zigzag away from the rolling spaceship. I understand that that's silly, but I think there's like, I still love Prometheus so much. I haven't actually seen an alien film since then. So not out of protest, just out of like, you know, they just passed me by. So I wonder if I need to see these other ones. But I mean, this looked pretty great. This looked like they were going back to the original, where it's like, this is a horror genre. Yeah. And, you know, the first Alien is like hardly action at all. It's straight up horror. And I feel like they're going back to that. And I'm in. I mean, you know, granted, not a lot was shown at all. So it's really tough to think about anything there. But
yeah,
I don't know. I didn't hate it. I did not hate it.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you on all points. The Penguin series.
I actually didn't watch the trailer for this.
Wow.
It was one of those where I saw it at a certain time where I couldn't stop and watch the trailer and then just forgot about it. But
yeah,
in general, the Penguin series, I mean, I am kind of on board. I love that character. I love what Colin Farrell did with it. I don't trust anything from Max or Zaslav. And so I don't trust anything being handled with care. You know, the Batman just got delayed a little bit, which is a bummer. But once again, make your movie at the pace you need to make your movie to make it good. Hopefully there's no like bad production woes. So I don't know. I'm interested in the rise of the Penguin. But is this turning into a thing where like, hey, we have to watch the show in order to watch the next movie? That's a slippery slope that the MCU has learned. Don't go down this road because it does not end well. So we'll see how it all goes. I'm obviously tuning in. Like, I'm definitely tuning in for this. There's no doubt about it. But whether it's good or not, I'm not terribly sure. I actually don't know the people behind it either. Like, is Reeves even bothering doing it, or was this just something that
it said from Matt Reeves?
Oh, well,
so I assume that it's him.
That will be interesting. He's interesting in every way, but I'm looking at it now, and it's Craig Zobel. Okay, I mean, yeah, I'm in. I'm just that one. I'm the most tentative on of what we've talked about so far.
It looks like he's executive producer.
Yeah, so you know, we'll probably has a most likely a creative say, considering that his sequel is being like you know talked about with it. So
yeah, it did feel a little Sopranos-ish, like they were trying to inject that type of like speaking to the you know therapist type angle to it, which was interesting.
I really hope they do kind of go with this, like, hey, this is just Gotham. We're not going to bring in a lot of the Batman characters, which I have very little faith they will do that, where it's just him dealing with a crime story. It's like, no, in the second episode, like Plinko Boy or whatever will show up. I don't know. There'll be some sort of like villains in there involved. I would like to see that not happen.
Plinko Boy. It was a bloodbath when Plinko Boy was born at The Price is Right.
We didn't know where he was going to land. We should be selling this right now.
Seriously. Plinko Boy. Seriously. Anything sells, which leads to the final one here. We had Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. We're getting a sequel to that. We're also getting Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, Pinocchio Unstrung. And ultimately, it will lead to an Avengers-style team-up movie called Pooniverse. Monsters Assemble.
Well, you know, I saw the trailer to the sequel to the Winnie the Pooh movie, and you know your movie's good when it's under a trailer that's under the Fathom Events logo. You know that you really got a lot of people going for it, like where it's going to be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the middle of like April, and it has to be specially bought, not through AMC, like right next to the Botticelli Brothers Take Manhattan or whatever the fuck is on there. So yeah, sure, cool. Like this movie, I mean, it'll be on Peacock. I probably won't even waste my time with it, and I waste my time with way too much shit. And this is bad. This is like this was like not even fun bad. Like I wanted it to be fun bad, but this was just like it didn't even. You could do something creative with these horror movies, and instead they're just putting the name on it, and then they just sort of like make a poorly made horror movie around it. And it's like, make something creative based on these stories if you want to do some sort of horror movie there. Which instead they just say like, hey, isn't it funny that Winnie the Pooh is a horror movie? Oh, I'm sorry, I looked away from the microphone on that. Isn't it funny that Winnie the Pooh is a horror movie? I was looking for Scooter. Like, it's just, and that's all they build on. And that's just such a shame. It's because you could make something creative with those stories. You could bring lore in, you could bring legend. You're just not going to do any of that. And so I don't have any faith in these movies because they're just literally, first of all, they were announced the moment the characters like got the like were in the public domain, which means they probably already illegally made these things and shot them. True. And so it's like they were just, these are all rushed to produce. Hey, if like, I don't even want to say it. Like, I was going to say if like some prestige horror director decided to like make one of these or, you know, bring it, like, no, I don't even want to see that. But
I just love the name Pooniverse.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, I wonder, is Pooh going to be like the Tony Stark of this whole thing where, you know, he shows up at the end credits of each one?
Oh, that would be pretty wild. I'm assembling a team. All right, that is it for this week. Next week, Sean Chandler will join us as the co-host, which I wrote in here, co-goat, which is kind of funny. I don't know how that happened.
Fits. He's the goat. I'm psyched weird to hear that one. I'll be psyched to see what's going on there.
It'll be good to catch up with Mr. Chandler next week. Like this episode wherever you're listening or watching, be sure to subscribe, share with your friends, and follow Smash Cuts Podcast on Instagram and Smash Cuts Pod on X to keep up. Sean, get back to that series you're watching.
Thanks.